We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
All right, good morning again. I will preface my remarks this morning by remembering my brother and good friend, Marion Lowry, and I know he was also brother and good friend to many here. Marion was a constant encourager, always had a good uplifting word for everybody. He always had a good uplifting word for me, but I do remember two occasions, both regarding sermons, of all the sermons, and Marion and I were here together in this congregation for long enough that I suppose he heard me preach hundreds of times. But there were two sermons that he came to me and said, "I wish everybody on earth could hear this message." The one was a message from the book of Ecclesiastes that I preached for the high school graduates at the time. And I brought that one back several years ago about the time that Scott and Julie Sanders boys were graduating high school, and Julie was very grateful that her boys got to hear that message, so it bore the test of time well enough that I suppose. I bring this one back, and I've been holding it for a little while until we got to the high point of summer, but this is the other message that Marion was enthused over, and I never think about this without thinking of Marion. It is the lament of Jeremiah, as I mentioned in the 8th chapter of his prophecy, but the lament actually takes up a couple of whole chapters. It's a long thing. The part that always strikes me is harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we, or as the old version reads, my people are not saved. I'm broken for the sake of my people. I am dismayed at the state of my people. It seems like there is no balm in Gilead for the healing of my people. What will become of them? It is a very long lament in which Jeremiah pours out several different kinds of regrets. It was so simple. All we had to do was just this, and it had been spelled out clearly for us. And if we had just done it, we would not have arrived at this miserable strait. Oh, all of us who thought we were so smart, we're not looking so smart now. Wise have been brought down. And other such recriminations and regrets and many uses of the word ashamed. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. And my people are not saved. Probably many of you will remember with me, and my memory goes back, my active memory goes back to the latter part of the third year of my life, because I remember my great anticipation of my upcoming fourth birthday. I remember thinking how big I was going to be when I turned four. Woohoo! Used up almost all the digits on one hand. Four! I remember that feeling. When I was four, summers were eternal. I had not even any consciousness that they were passing by. It was just an ongoing, glorious, warm time. And I was four. So I was nearly completely free. I lived in a community that was safe. And I was free. And had all that time at my disposal, which was a good thing, because at four there were many important things that I needed to do. There were dandelions everywhere, and somebody needed to pluck those and on those puffballs so the dandelions could be further seeded and produce more. And I was glad to do that job. The world was full of puppies that needed to be ran with and chased and be chased by and pull on ropes and be licked by. And I was glad to do that job. And at every social gathering that I went to, somebody would bring a big tray of deviled eggs, and somebody needed to eat those things. And I was happy. I embarrassed my father. I remember him saying, "They're going to think we don't feed this boy at home." Because those things just kept sliding down my throat one after another. It was a good thing that summer was so long, because I was a busy four-year-old with things to do. If you want to understand the frustration of the prophet Jeremiah, you have to begin with the knowledge that the prophet Isaiah had said everything that was crucial in Jeremiah's message 100 years ago. Before Jeremiah ever stood up and spoke the first time, 100 years ago, Isaiah had stood up and made it well known what things God was unhappy about. Here's what you're doing that I don't like. Here's what you're not doing that I think you ought to do. I'm running out of patience. Here are the consequences that are going to fall on you. They're going to involve kings I will name by name who have not been born yet but will be born and are going to come on the scene after they are born and come and tear your house down and haul you all the way to slavery. Repent now. Get yourself on the road to reform now. Wake up and get on the path of righteousness now, or all of these terrible things are going to come to pass and you won't like it. 100 years ago, Isaiah said all of this. And 100 years later, as Jeremiah steps up to the plate, the nation is still in the same dismal shape. 100 years. Most of you are like me, right on the face of it. You think, 100 years, that's a long time. 100 years is a long time. I suppose on the one hand it is, but let me tell you something. 100 years ago would have been 1921. And in the year 1921, my grandpa Ross, my great-grandfather, was 39 years old in 1921. He was born in 1882. You can work out the math. But he was 39 years old. I knew him. I knew him until 1977, when I was in college and he passed away. He was born, this man whom I knew and walked with, this man who helped shape my childhood, my life, my values, this man whom many in the family tell me I'm quite a bit like. He was born 139 years ago, but I walked with him. My grandpa Vernon, whom I knew even better, was 14 years old in 1921. And I knew him until 1990, when he went home to be with the Lord. And he shaped my life even more. He was born 114 years ago. My father, gone now these past few years, in just another decade and a little bit, will have been born 100 years ago. And yet I walked with him all the days of my life until just a few years ago. back. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. 100 years is not very long. Not in terms of generations and societies and the kind of national righteousness that God was calling for. Isaiah made the proclamation and the 100 years passed, and in no time was gone. When I was 6 years old, a thing happened that changed my perception of time regarding summer. The thing was called school. I tell you, my clearest memory about starting school was that somehow I had developed the misconception. After the first day, I thought that I was done. And then I discovered that I had to go back the next day and the day after that, and for months and months and months following. What a raw deal! Nobody told me this! It cut into both ends of summer before you were done with just first grade. And what had been an eternal season got shrunk down to about the length of a single ice age. But I needed it all, because there were fireflies to be caught and put in mason jars. Toward the end of summer, there were endless touch-me-not pods to be gripped and exploded. And there were long evening games with my siblings of hide-and-seek and Ain't No Bears, which is a game nobody knows about if you didn't grow up in the little area that I lived in, but which was a lot of fun once it got dark. And I needed all that time that summer had been reduced to when I was 6. Jeremiah began his ministry with kind of this conception. You know, Isaiah left too much time sticking out there for people to get motivated. It was about kings who haven't been born yet, but after they're born and they grow up, then they're going to come and they're going to do this and that. And everybody just thought they had too much time. But they're going to repent now. They're going to repent now as soon as I make them understand what God has told me, that time is up. We have just a few precious months. And, you know, we do our best work under pressure. How many of you did college all-nighters, though you had a syllabus that told you when the test was going to be from the beginning? Okay, yeah, we've all been there, but we can do it. We can do it. Now that everybody can be told, look, no more opportunities. We got to repent now. We're going to get it done, because the crunch is on. And yet it came down to this. Harvest is over. And summer is ended. And my people are not saved. About the time I turned 10, there was the introduction of another factor into my life. It was called chores. I was now old enough to assume responsibility for the mowing of our little lawn. I didn't think it was so little then, but I've been back and looked at it since. It was very small in Eminence, Indiana. But I mowed it with a little black Craftsman push mower, and it was my job to take out the garbage and do what we now recognize as terribly ecologically irresponsible, go to the ash pile behind the house and light that stuff on fire and burn it up and stir it till it was mostly gone, and a few other things like that. And this, along with school, managed to reduce summer to about the proportions of a normal calendar season for me. It just sucked up all that excess time. Well, not all. There was still some time left, but you had to start squeezing things into it. Cub Scout campouts and catching bluegill in Lake Ditch or some little bullhead catfish out of Mill Creek. And there were endless frogs and snakes to be run down and captured. And when I had time, I was all about it, because there were also endless girls to be tormented with frogs and snakes that you had captured. And you seek your entertainment where you can find it when time is getting short, as it began to when I was 10. The people did not repent. Jeremiah's communicated sense of urgency notwithstanding. And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah. Too late. The previous deal is off the table. Repentance yesterday would have done away with the promised punishment. That was yesterday. And it is too late. But there is this, and God gave a new message to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah presented it to his people. God is now sending the Babylonians to punish us, and nothing can be done about that. They will overthrow our city. They will reduce our temple to rubble. They will haul us away as captives. It's going to happen. God has decreed it. We did not repent. Time's up. But we can still do this. We can surrender to the will of God by surrendering to the Babylonians and at least put a limit on the bloodshed and the destruction and the ruination of families. That's all going to descend on us if we try to resist what God has decreed. We should surrender. Eventually I turned 12. And I still had to do all the family chores that had started about when I was 10. And they increased because we moved from the little house in Eminence to the farm where I spent the rest of my childhood out by Wakeland, Indiana. So those chores increased. But my dad did not believe in paying children to do family chores. We didn't get an allowance. Dad's favorite saying was, "I'm not running a home for unemployed teenagers. If you want money, mow someone else's grass. Get a paper route. Put up hay for some other farmer. Go right out here on State Route 142 where low posses run that big truck patch, and they will pay you to pick green beans and strawberries, but you're picking my green beans for free." This was the ruling philosophy. And I did want money. So I delivered papers and mowed grass and put up hay. And summer, for the purposes of enjoyment, shrank to Friday evenings, where you could drive out to the White River and maybe catch a few catfish, or run down to the school parking lot and get into a pickup basketball game under the lights. And there were still girls in the world, but I was now uncertain, a little conflicted. Torment them, moon over them, moon over them, torment them. I couldn't quite make up my mind. But something needed to be done regarding all those girls, and summer had just become so short. The king and the people heard Jeremiah's message of surrender to the Babylonians, and they said, "I don't think so. their refusal was aided by the presence of other prophets, false prophets who preached a different message. Mostly came down to this: why are you worried about what Jeremiah says? The Egyptians are our pals. The Egyptians will save us from Babylon. Don't worry about having to turn your life upside down to please God up in heaven, because the Egyptians are going to take care of us when the Babylonians come marching over the hill. God, ha! Egypt is going to be there for us. And all the bad behavior continued. Harvest is ended. Summer is past. And my people are not saved. When I turned 16, I got a driver's license, which I thought was the greatest thing until I figured out how much more useful it made me for chores and working. And cross-country practice started in August. And I was working with the elders of the home church because I had expressed my desire to be a preacher, and I needed to put in at least 1 week and possibly two as a counselor at the church camp. And I was still trying to earn money. And summer just rushed on by, which was too bad, because the world had become so much bigger and there were so many things that needed done, and I had become unconflicted about girls in the meantime when I was 16, and that needed to be pursued as well. But there wasn't as much time as there used to be. The hope of Egypt failed. The word of the false prophets came to naught. Kings came and went during the ministry of prophet Jeremiah, and each one provided less impetus for repentance and reform than the last one. And it came down to this: harvest is past. Summer ended. And my people are not saved. My life continued to change. College, with rapid pace, summer employment in between years. Marriage, kids, full-time employment, commitments to other interests in the communities where I have lived, the church, garden, summer. Was it even here? You mean it's gone already? And I don't have too many of those things left out in front of me. Are my people saved? My society? My family, my friends? Am I sure even about everybody in this congregation? Are my people saved? Developments continue to assure me no, they are not. In so many ways, we seem to be continuing to make progress in the wrong direction. Our hearts straying further and further from God. What are we waiting for? For the lament of Jeremiah to become our lament? Harvest is ended. Summer passed. And are our people saved? I want you to remember these words of Jeremiah. I want them to echo around in your head the way they do in mind not to make you miserable, but to raise all our conviction level. The time passes so quickly. 100 years is nothing. And I don't know that we have that left in front of us before reckoning becomes unavoidable. Let the lament of Jeremiah motivate us, lest it become our own. If you would pray with me. Father, give us clear direction and sure conviction that we will pursue the salvation of all our people and of all the poor lost souls in a poor lost world while time remains. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.